Leaving all that dust behind her. The second thing I understand, I cannot fall back down that rabbit hole. Not even if Mr. Jackson shows up at the bottom, his delicate fingers beckoning. I need to prove I can make it on my own, that I can survive just fine without him. I will not be like my mother, who forgave any man who said sorry. I've learned her own failed lesson, see? That when a man discovers where to hurt you, the way he touches you changes. He won't be able to stop himself from pressing hard against that spot, no matter how many times it makes you cry. I will never let a man make me cry. Not ever again. Reaching inside my travel bag, I swing it to the front of my hip bone. I run my fingers over the black vulcanite of the old Leica buried at the bottom of the canvas. Feel for the grooves of the detachable lens as I walk. I don't know why I need this proof, when I have been feeling the weight of the camera, the bump and knock against my thigh the whole journey here. It is not as if it could have suddenly disappeared from deep inside my bag, cocooned by my sweaters and socks and underwear. But I need to reassure myself the Leica is safe and intact all the same. Because this is what I have left. This is what I brought with me. And it is a small triumph to know that Mr. Jackson will soon realize what I have taken from him. If he does not miss me, he will at least miss how he used to look at me through that lens.
Everyone's lost something, Alice.
Isn't that what he told me just the other day? For 3 glorious weeks in the late summer of 1995, my mother appeared on a billboard in Times Square. In the months before I was born, if you were to stand out front of the old Roy Rogers restaurant, you could look across the street and see her beautiful face decorating the side of a tall, wide building, right there between ads for the Donahue talk show and a movie called Showgirls, Coming Soon. I knew these details from my mother's stories of that summer. How she ran away to New York after 1 too many beatings from her father. As if there was a magical number for the endurance of such things, and he finally exceeded it in her 18th year. And how, her lips still bleeding, she stole money from my grandfather's wallet to buy a bus ticket from Bayfield County, Wisconsin, to New York City. The most faraway place she could think of. Her first night in the city, trying not to fall asleep in a back booth of some dingy 8th Avenue diner, she met a semi-famous photographer. Before the night was over, he had shifted her into his apartment, cleaned her up, and when she looked nice and pretty, he said he was in love with her. He wasn't, of course, or he was for a time, but he loved his rich wife in the Hamptons more than he loved my mother, so he eventually left her. She was already pregnant when he snapped the picture of her smiling face that would end up reigning over Times Square those 3 sultry weeks.
"You were there with me, Alice Lee," she would remind me. "Everyone looking up at us as if we belonged there."
I never knew if my mother told my father what he was really seeing when he took that picture. If he ever knew his unborn child was also there in the frame. The finer details of how I came to be were smudged, blurred out by the time the story made its way to me. These are the things I think of. The 2 of us on a billboard, high above Times Square. My presence unnoticed back then, just as it is tonight, as I wander past streets lined with busy restaurants and glittering signs, a crossword puzzle of names running down the sides of the fanciest buildings I've ever seen. Who do you have to be? What do you have to do to get your name up there? Just a few weeks from now, when people can't stop talking about me, this city will give me a whole new name. My real name will be a question no one can answer. So they will call me Jane Doe, a dead girl who...